the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look to him are radiant. Never be ashamed, never be ashamed. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he who has in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all of his saints. Give you everything, give you everything. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. Give you everything, give you everything. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved his from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He'll deliver them, he'll deliver them. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from every fear.
Man, it's true.
Enjoyed that song, Brother Dane. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And even though there are not 500 people here tonight, I feel like we're in a big church. And it's always special when you come together and you worship God with people full of the Holy Ghost. And having been born again by the Spirit of the living God. And if you're not yet having everything you need to have, please don't go service after service after service without it. Don't go unsatisfied. It's not about anybody else judging whether you've received the Holy Ghost or not. It's about you knowing you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, because it's a part of the Holy Ghost. We never follow those who say, well, I received the Holy Ghost, but I don't do the tongue thing. And, well, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. Or you at least haven't. If the Holy Ghost is trying to come out of your life, you're not yielding yet. It's a wrong understanding to have. Don't get comfortable in an apostolic church without everything that the church preaches. That would be robbing you, and that would be very inconsiderate of us. Praise the Lord, because we're here on a mission. And the church is designed to be a miracle-working church, a powerful church, a converting the sinner from the error of his or her way church, where the operation of the Spirit of God and the gifts of God should flow. And that's what we want here. And that's what will happen as we all continue instant in prayer. It's not complicated, but it's up to us to be dedicated. Amen? It's not complicated, it's just about being dedicated. Revelation 5 in the Word of God. I won't hold you too long, but long enough to say something I think you'll appreciate. Somebody many years ago who went to bat for you, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, before you learned how to be a sinner, before you messed your life up as much as you did before you came to God, somebody already went to bat for you so that he could somehow cross your path and give you some hope. Nobody in the world is hopeless unless they die without hope. Revelation 5, beginning of verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, because he asked me to, he said, behold. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. Let's pray tonight. God, help us tonight as we endeavor to look into the Word of God for a few minutes of enlightenment and encouragement and insight into the simplicity of Christ. God, touch our tired minds, our tired bodies, our thoughts that may be, Lord, going astray. God, help us to keep it together and to grow in grace and not digress in any way, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to just read a couple more verses here. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, not unto your loved ones, not unto your co-workers, unto any people that you want to have holier-than-thou attitude towards, not that any of us would. We're made unto God, kings and priests. Amen? Just a point to be made. And we shall reign on the earth. Some are waiting to reign with Christ for 1,000 years because they don't understand what that verse is talking about. But I'll tell you this much. And it's all throughout the Word of God. It's consistent with the Word. If you don't reign now, you're not going to reign later. Our reigning is in righteousness. And it's all these little things that unlock the mystery that is in this epistle, the dark sayings, the things that are coded for people who are hungry, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who can receive enlightenment. Believe it or not, as complicated as this epistle has been to so many, it's actually a simple book. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you've got understanding, when God has enlightened you, when our faces are radiant, like you sung, Brother Dana, it's amazing what you can see. Jesus said it like this to Nicodemus in John 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But when you're born, you can see. And when you're born, you can read the book. Praise the Lord. And this is exciting because there's a lot to read. We're reading here in Revelation 5. And the first thing that comes to my mind is something I'd like to say before I make a few comments, because there's so much in this verse. And I'm going to try to just quickly go through it and highlight it and just throw out some things like Pastor used to say to us, Brother Rick, some nuggets, because they're precious. And the reason why we all enjoyed chatting with Pastor and listening to those sermons and when he'd talk on these things is because we were all reaching for understanding. And we knew that he was going to throw something out that we would chew on for a good while and get excited about. That would unlock the doors of other things in Holy Scripture that would help us not only just to know God, but to live for God better. We cannot gain understanding in spiritual things and not end up living better. Because you live what you know. And you behave based upon the impact that God has to you. And this is all what the scripture is talking about when he was able to open the book and why he opened the book. A book that only he could open, but he wanted to open it. Remember, we talked before, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, about to be crucified. He knew that. Nobody else did. He said, "How am I in distress? How am I straitened?" The King James says, "until all be accomplished." And because he knew he was going to Calvary to open something up. Let me say it like this, and I'll make this comment in a minute about people who feel like they can't get past stuff. When he went to Calvary, what an awesome picture of the Father and Son. If you've ever struggled with, and it's okay if you have, if you've ever struggled with comprehending the depth of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because some of us were raised to be taught years ago, I'm talking about before our conversion, we were raised to believe that it was a three-person thing until we discovered differently. And so oftentimes it takes a while to get past that in our reading because it's been so embedded. But when God gives understanding, we can understand how that the lion was in the lamb. And that's how we know that the lion prevailed. When he went to look at the lion, he saw a lamb. Jesus said, "I do always those things which please the lion." If you ever saw a moment where the lion and the lamb laid down together, you see it, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The lion and the lamb reconciling the world unto himself. That which could not be seen manifested in that which could. What could not be seen was a lion. What could be seen was a lamb. Praise the Lord. And in the power of God, remember what the scripture says, that when he came out of the wilderness and put Satan in his place and just took a moment in every possible way to be the weakest he could be, talked to that good-for-nothing spirit and told him, just buzz off. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he did it as a human being. The first time Satan was cast out by the lion, the second time he was put in his place by the lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, by the lamb that would shed blood to rescue the mankind that slew foot beguiled. And yet in a state of fasting and prayer, he didn't show up after being strong in his humanity. He weakened himself and then confronted him and said, "In my weakest moment, I'll put you in your place." Oh, hallelujah. Don't ever exalt yourself against God. He takes it personal. But the scripture says, after that moment, the lamb came out in the power of the lion. I'm substituting. Didn't the scripture say he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost? Now, he went in there full of the Holy Ghost, spirit given without measure unto him, John 3. That's what John the Baptist said of him. But the fact that he overcame, it's not a different spirit. Some get confused. They say, "Oh, you got the Holy Ghost, now we got the power of the Spirit." No, Holy Ghost and the power are the same thing. Right. It's an expression of the fact that he overcame and came out in the power. Right. And the overcoming power of that spirit. Having defeated something. The same way you will go through some wilderness experiences, filled with the Holy Ghost, but when you come out, you'll come out with some things having been defeated. Some things put to rest. Some things dealt with by the lion. Praise God. In you. Hallelujah. So don't ever worry about your weakness as far as being human. Just be concerned about the lion that's in you because of the lamb. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The calling. I know it's a good word. We appreciate the call. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? So we read here in Revelation 5, and my comment about people is, one thought I was having here is the fact that people, we've all heard people say, I just can't kick the habit. You know, I can't get past this. There's that something, and it's such a monumental and colossal thing, and they don't realize what they're saying. I can't get past this fleshly lust, or I can't get past this certain thing, whatever it might be, this hang-up that keeps getting the best of me. For some, it's their attitude. See, here's the thing I like to say to people who say they're born of God, but they have a short fuse. If you just spend some time in the prayer room, your fuse will grow. You ever see those movies where they're lighting a stick of dynamite? And in order to emphasize drama and to get everybody filled with suspense, it seems like that wick just burns for like 10 minutes. When in real reality, you know, at least a fairly good distance one, it's going to go faster than 10. But at least somebody has time when they light it to run. Some people, you just don't have any time to get away. They just go boom. But if you have a problem with boom, go talk to the lion. Hallelujah. And he'll give you power not to go boom. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love him, don't you? Hallelujah. So my point to those who say, I just, you know, this is hard. It's too hard. Let me tell you something. What you can overcome is no more hard than what Jesus did in order to open the book. In fact, what he went through, partaking of flesh and blood, so that the lion of the tribe of Judah, that spirit of the living God, that eternal Jehovah, put upon himself a veil, a lamb, called the Son of God. I'm in scripture. I have not violated the word of God yet. It's just substituting terminology, saying the very same thing because it's true. He took not on the nature of angels, but took on him the form of man, the seed of Abraham. It's all the same thing, Hebrews 2. Hebrews 5, 7, days of his flesh. Days of his flesh were called exactly what John said in John 1, 29, John the Baptist, that is, behold, the Lamb of God. Isn't that amazing that the lion overshadowed a womb and out came a lamb? Yeah. Only God could do stuff like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't going to take a lion going up to Calvary's cross. It was going to take a lamb. Because you can't kill the lion, but you could kill the lamb. Yeah. Right. Praise God. Because that lamb was going to need the lion to raise it up on the third day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Lord, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah, I love the Lord. Praise God, praise God. That when we feel like we don't have what it takes, we just hear a roar. Praise God. We go to church and God roars. Hallelujah. We have the enemy in our face all day, but we go to church and then the lion roars and we hear it in a song. We feel that power. We feel that anointing. We feel that holiness. And we get reminded once again that the lamb went to Calvary. But the only reason the lamb went to Calvary is because the lion presented the lamb unto himself at Calvary. It was not the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the Roman Empire that had the power to bring the lamb to the cross. In fact, it was Jesus, the Lamb, who said you could have no power except it was given to you from the lion above. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hey, don't think you just lamb chops for the enemy. The scripture calls Satan as a lion, but never calls him one. Right. Because he's always trying to mimic the lion. And that's why Peter said, I'll do justice here, Lord. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. As one, but ain't one. Right. Hallelujah. But we serve one. Yes. He's got teeth. Yes. He's got might. Yes. And he's got power. He's got authority. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing that you and I cannot overcome, no matter what it is. The struggle people have is they've learned how to be good at yielding to the wrong thing. And the understanding has to come. This is why we needed a lion to present a lamb, because we had been put into bondage by a taskmaster. And sin, when you yield yourself, you are sin's servant. So you need a master to deliver you from a master. Praise God. You're not being delivered from a servant. You're being delivered from another Lord, who is not the Lord, but is pretending to be Lord. And as long as you and I yield ourselves to the flesh, remember what Romans 8 teaches us about being of the flesh, yielding yourself to things that are not right. These things are overcomable. Not sure that's a right word, but you can overcome these things. Yes. Anything's can be overcome, anything in your life that's troubling you and making you live less than what you could be. There's somebody that has prevailed for you. And if he can go to Calvary and open a book, certainly he can deliver you. Yes. We are without excuse. Yes. We are deliverable. There's nobody, I don't care what you're going through, how bad it is, what you've given yourself to. When you step inside the doors of the lion who presented the lamb, you are deliverable. Amen. You are healable. You are savable. Because we're not dealing with Satan and the devils and all of those things. Those are weak and beggarly things. We're dealing with a God who stepped into this world and said, I can save anybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm here to open a book that can be experienced in red. God's so good. I'm so glad. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please don't end up lost, because we'll stand before God without excuse. He said, I poured everything. I opened a book for you. And what was in the book I poured out to you. Don't tell me you didn't have what it could take to be saved. I don't want to be like this world. Let me read. I'm trying to get to some couple of verses here, and I guess maybe I've said it enough. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. God always has plenty inside and on the backside. He's got plenty to say, plenty to show. Moses said, show me your face. And no man's going to see my face and live. But I'll roll back the curtain and show you some stuff. Because there's always something to see. There's always something to see inside of the experience you have. And there's also stuff in the past. Praise God. Other stuff. See, never believe these blokes that like to say, we're not Old Testament people. We got the New Testament now. We don't need it. All we need is. Don't ever follow people that want to slice the book in half. When he said open the book was open for everybody. Abraham, all the way up, go all the way back to Job, open for everybody. There's a story to tell inside the book that he opens. Amen? Amen. Who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. Jesus said in his speech, when talking to some people, he said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but the Son of Man which is in heaven. So don't be confused, because there is no flesh in heaven. Now, I know it sounds contradictory, but you're in heaven. You're in a heavenly place. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that which is yet to come. We must be changed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. That's why some people get confused. Yeah, but Jesus is in heaven. The man. No, the man ain't. Praise God. Glorified. Rose up. That's why, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended, but when he was ascended, he was still here. He's the only one that could be here and there and not leave there unoccupied. Right. Amen. Amen? The lion was still on the throne when he was in the lamb who was on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that the truth? I don't want to. I mean, they write some great songs, and I'm not here to slam them, but he did not leave his throne to come here. He was manifested from the throne. Praise God. I love the word of God, don't you? Opens your eyes and helps you just see stuff and say yes, yes, and yes, yes. But the great thing about seeing things that God can give us understanding on, it helps us live for God. It helps us overcome the world. It helps us to see what we're facing and have a different attitude about it. To suddenly realize that when we've got the Holy Ghost in our life, we're filled with a lion. We're filled with power. We're filled with might. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to just hope that I can make it. I don't have to struggle with stuff that I don't have to struggle with. The book is open. I don't have to struggle anymore. Praise God. Why? Because the book being open means he was manifested to take away our sin. And the whole idea of opening and breaking the seal is the same of the veil of the temple rending in two from top to bottom. The scripture says it that way for a reason when Jesus shed blood on Calvary. That the veil that was in that temple, physical temple, rent in twain. We know his body was rent, spiritually speaking. But the way into the Holy Ghost was now open. The same time the book was now open. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad about that, because that tells me no matter what the enemy tries to do, when they taunted him on Calvary's cross, see, he was winning and they were losing. Sometimes we go through some tough stuff and it feels like we're losing, but we're really winning. Amen. We're winning when we obey God. We're winning when we follow the will of God. Even when it all rises against us and they say, quit, come down from that cross, stop going to church. Stop preaching the word. Stop having a church in Norwich. Hallelujah. Instead, we stay up there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because he knew what he was doing. Yes, suffering greatly, shedding blood, pouring out his life. But he was prevailing, praise God. Nay, in their ignorance, taunted, saying, he saved others, but he can't save himself. If he's the Messiah, let him come down off the cross and we'll believe him. Jesus knew that was a lie. He'd already told them, though one would rise from the dead, you still won't believe. And they didn't. Lazarus was raised, and they wanted to kill Lazarus. We don't bargain with an imitation lion, a pretender. Only with the real one do we obey. Amen? But thank God he went to Calvary's cross. Give me just a couple more minutes. I know it's been a long week. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But just making a point about no man in heaven, not even the good people on the earth that trying to follow the law. Abraham wasn't worthy. Moses wasn't worthy. Elijah wasn't worthy. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't Elijah or Enoch that came back on the earth to open the book. They couldn't. Neither to look. Remember what Jesus said, no man could see. And we know that we couldn't be born again until the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, shed blood, innocent blood. He did that for you. So the next time the enemy wants to snooker you and beguile you and show you the world and say, this is better than that church. You know, that's the way the devil always makes it look. Church is bondage. Can't do this. Can't do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. I hope that's not in your mentality. I hope you don't feel that way. I get to do this. I get to walk with God. I get to not look at stuff. I get not to do stuff. Hallelujah. I get to reign in righteousness and be unto God a king and a priest. Hallelujah. Don't let the world, don't let that imposter lion talk you out of being royalty and priestly unto God. See, it's not about your friends. It's not about the peers. Hey, let me just give you a little bit of advice. Be the influencer. Don't wait around until your friends want to influence you to take drugs or smoke or do something stupid. You influence them to want to be full of the Holy Ghost, to want to go to this exciting church, just want you to lay hands on them, even if it's in school or on the child. Hallelujah. Well, why not? They're bold and boastful, as a roaring lion, wanting to deceive you, make it look like sin's where it's at. It's not. All right. I wept much, verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders, thank God for the elders. Thank God for the word. See, pastor said it before, you know, when you squeeze the word of God, out pops Acts 2:38. I'd like to say it from the perspective of this verse 5. When you take, for example, all of just the Old Testament, and you squeeze it, out of it comes, behold the lion. Because 39 epistles say, a lion's coming. Hallelujah. A lion is coming. And then he said, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And these are where the key. Remember, the lamb is the offspring of David. The lion is the root of David, where David came from. Only one could be the root and offspring and still be one. Hallelujah. That's right. We're not talking, we don't serve two deities. We don't even serve three deities. We serve one God. I used to be confused who to pray to, but not now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is the revelation. Amen? Jesus is the name of the Lion. Hallelujah. He said, I am come in the lion's name. Yeah. Know what he said? Yeah. John chapter 5. I am come in my Father's name. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he was bold enough to even say, when you look at the lamb, you can see the lion. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you've seen me, you've seen the lion. Yeah. Hallelujah. I love substitutions because it's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. All right. I promise to close. Praise God. So weep not. So to all those people who are struggling, I just can't. I just so much. The word is saying, stop your crying. Stop your whining. Stop telling God what you can't overcome. The lion's in the house. So what's the real story? You don't want to stop. The real story isn't whether God can help you overcome. I pray for a lot of people. Oh, pray for me. And maybe they're in a moment of sincerity, and I'm not throwing them down. But you don't, listen, you don't go from prayer to going right back to doing what you're doing. There has to be effort on your part. You've got to give the lion and the lamb your effort. Or else the lion and the lamb can't do anything for you. Prove it to you. Jesus could not do John chapter 12. He could not do many miracles in his own community because of their unbelief. And yet presently, the lion, the power of God, was ready to heal, set free, stand some people up who have never walked. But hey, we know who this dude is. He's been around us. We watched him grow up from childhood, and now he's some great prophet. Unbelief closed the door. Sealed the book. Closed it up. Can't even look on it. How many people have been among us? Couldn't see what you were seeing. You were up clapping, praising God, speaking with tongues, and they were just staring. I can't feel anything. I can't see anything. It's not now because the book's not open. It's open, but through faith, through obedience, through, you've got to do something. You've got to want this thing. So when people get baptized in Jesus' name, that's for the remission of sins, people. That's where you get to join yourself to the effort of the Lamb who stayed on that cross to give you baptism, which works if you work. And when you continue in sin, that's really where you take the name of the Lord in vain. You can curse his name, and that's awful. It's more awful to take his name and don't do anything than don't do anything with the name. All right. I think I've said enough here. I behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. And when you read this correctly, that's what it's saying. The lion has prevailed, and when I went to look at the lion, I saw a lamb. That's powerful. And I thank God for that, because it took the power of God to present a lamb. It was God presenting a lamb, a sacrifice. Remember what Abraham said. I'll just finish with this, because this could go on and on. And I just want to spend a few minutes here in prayer before we go. Remember what Abraham said to Isaac when Abraham saw the place afar off. And in faith, Abraham told his servants, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. Because he was believing God, that even if I've got to go through with what God has asked me to go through, I believe he'll raise him up, because God made a promise to me that in Isaac shall thy seed be. Right. I may not understand what he's asking me to do, but I'm going to obey God. Right. So as they were marching up with the wood and with the fire, Isaac got a little curious. He said, Pop, I see the knife and the fire and the wood, but where's the thing we're going to kill? I don't know what Isaac went through that day, but I do know what Abraham told him. God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And God did the same within that same region. Not sure if at that moment that where Abraham built that altar would later in later centuries become Calvary. But it was pretty close from where the mountains of Moriah were. Moriah was just the land of Moriah. It wasn't Mount Moriah. You could have called it that, but it was the land of Moriah. And there was a mount in that land, and there was multiple mounts. And close by is even the mount that Jerusalem is built upon. So it's just a curious thought, that's all, as to where he landed. Could have been totally a guess. It's nothing you can make a doctrine out of. But it's just, it wouldn't surprise me the way God does things. Let's all stand, and I'll finish with this. God will provide himself. So at Calvary, it was God providing himself a lamb. Praise God. And I thank God for that. Don't you?
Yes.
I hope tonight you feel from the word of the Lord like you can live this thing and appreciate what has been opened. Jesus said it like this, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And if you see this, then you see what's written within, and you see what's written on the backside. Because God has revealed this to babes. And the lamb said to the lion, I thank you that you've revealed this unto babes. You've kept it from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed it to those who want to know. Nothing that seems hidden in God will stay hidden if you really want to know it. Would you call upon the Lord now?
Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm true. Call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Hallelujah, God, you're so good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the authority. We thank you for knowing who we are and how you view us. People of God, called by your name, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, peculiar people who sing a song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Thank you, Jesus. We love you tonight. We love you tonight. We love you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.